Oh, baby. We're back. Back. We got Ryan again. I guess this is your last time on the show before you head out.
Yeah, unless it's like an early show tomorrow.
You know Will can't pull that off. This guy's, he's been tweaking. Hey, man. He's been twisting all types of knobs and needles, this guy over here. Every time, like, was it yesterday? I'm like, Will, we got a shoot over there. He's like, no. Or was that the day before?
Day before.
He's like, no. The set is not ready. He takes this thing very seriously. And I appreciate that about him. It's the finer details that really make all the difference. We were talking just before we started rolling here. The crypto crash 2022. We got all-time lows. This is not a crypto show, but that's just like the biggest story. I got people just hitting me up in the my like regular life chats. And then I was like, oh, this is mainstream. The people want to talk the cryptos. And so I was like, all right, let's do it on this show. I guess some people have been affected by it. I'm not one of these. I'm not out there trading on the daily basis. We just spoke about this. Willie Doo had his own issues, but he's recovered. And so
recovering.
He's recovering. I guess that's what it is, right? Yeah, that's what it is. But nonetheless, we're seeing some panic. Reuters calling it crypto meltdown, as well as others.
So is the title of this live stream.
Oh, so is the title of this live stream, because I think it's just there's something about the word meltdown.
That's exactly it.
It's a very attractive word. Attracts your attention. I don't want to melt down. What else melts down? A reactor. A nuclear reactor can melt down.
Yeah, very serious.
But it also implies, the word meltdown implies that it was always possible for something to melt down. You know what I'm saying? Like that it was volatile to begin with. Which in crypto's case, some might find that fitting. Others might be yelling and screaming, saying, no. That's why the word stable is right below it. Mm-hmm. Which brings us actually to, I guess, how some of this went down. Well, Tether, a stablecoin, did drop below its dollar peg, but it recovered actually pretty quickly. Now, my understanding in the case of Tether that you've actually got currency, you've actually got the correct hedge versus the stablecoin. Stablecoin that was sort of at the forefront of a lot of this meltdown, or at least was the first domino. You picture a row of dominoes, but slow motion, one after the other. Meltdown in Terra USD, one of the world's largest stablecoins, sent shockwaves. That's another one, Will. It's meltdown and shockwaves.
Yeah.
We need a headline. One day we need to title a video just with those words. That's it. Shockwave, meltdown.
How about just the shockwave meltdown?
The shockwave has melted down.
Placeholder.
I don't know.
For a future show.
Also, this sounds appetizing.
Crater.
What would a shockwave be if you could buy it out of a freezer and it was an ice cream treat? Would it be sour?
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm saying, come on, Will. You've been on this show for 10 years. Come on. You got to know we move quick from one to the next.
No,
5 p.m.
100%. You're right. Sour. Because it's a shock. Sour. It's going to shock the system.
There's a lemon lime going on. There's a lemon lime.
Yeah. Okay. So it's got the...
It's a beachy vibe because of the wave aspect. It's got a beachy vibe on the wrapper. Sent shockwaves through the cryptocurrency markets on Thursday, pushing another major stablecoin Tether below its dollar peg. Cryptocurrency has been swept up in a sell-off across higher-risk assets, which picked up steam this week as data showed U.S. inflation running high. U.S. inflation running.
When you see trillion in the new, that's a big deal. A lot of money.
Yes, it is.
When you see trillion in the financial news, it's usually not a good thing.
What's after trillion? Remind me. What's the next
quadrillion?
One?
Quadrillion?
I've never heard that one.
Trillion is tri, so something quad would be the four.
Just wanted to check that.
Let's see here. U.S. inflation running hot. Fears about economic impact of aggressive central bank tightening. Sell-off is taking the combined market value of all cryptocurrencies to $1.2 trillion, less than half of where it was last November. less than half last November. Now, we were looking at these charts. Obviously, crypto just exploded in the COVID era. We're talking about a lot of people becoming interested in alternative currencies, having a little time on their hands, a little COVID time. And some got into the stock market. That's well documented. Some got into the cryptos. And obviously other things happened, like NFTs, of which Will went from a 4 to a 3 in recent memory on his heat meter for NFTs. Are we holding at a 3, or are you down to a 2 after today's
news?
We're hodling. Oh, okay. I guess that's a good thing.
That's good.
Yeah. We're hodling NFTs or crypto? What are we doing?
NFTs.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's a 3.
It's still a 3. Oh, you're hodling your ranking. See, that was a little confusing. I thought I thought maybe you went up in your interest level.
So.
Well, because hodling.
Yeah, with the program,
no, but yeah, you're right. Okay. I'll give you that on in exchange for the. What was the wave? The shockwave.
Shockwave.
Oh, okay,
you and
yeah,
I, Pete,
right.
We can transact.
Okay.
I take your hodl and I raise you one shockwave.
Okay. We're on the same page now.
One quick one here. Is Will old enough to remember the shockwave that Sony made? I know Lou is.
The what?
Shockwave?
The Walkman?
That was Panasonic.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm into these things, but you don't need... Sony had a Discman as well, but theirs skipped. Their initial one.
Shockwave was sick. It did not
They
skip.
Had something called DSP.
There it is.
Or something along those lines. I don't remember the name of it. And then Panasonic was like, oh, we see your Discman and we raise you one shockwave.
It had the clamps. You can see them on this. Anyway, it was
you
sick.
You could still skip it if you tried, but this was revolutionary. And since on our last show, we were talking about RIP... iPod.
Yep.
Well, this was the precursor even to that.
Yep.
40-second shock resistance. So you could just be slamming the thing up to that long, I guess, the buffer. I don't even know how it worked. Was there some sort of a... Because you have a laser reading the disc, and you have a motor. Imagine that in your pocket, all those moving parts.
It was an amazing technological feat at that point in time. This is the 90s, right?
It was also kind of a flex with the neon colors. Like, if you had that at high school or whatever, maybe it was, like, just before high school for me, but if you had one of these, kind of a flex.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about the guy who's got the shockwave? Oh, yeah, that I know that guy.
Yeah, anyway, shockwave. It rung a bell right when you said it, and I had to bring it up.
Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate that, actually. Nice little throwback there. Bitcoin, the largest cryptocurrency by market cap, hit a low of 25,401.05 on Thursday. I don't know what it's at right this second, but that's a few hours ago when this article was written. That's the lowest since December 28th, 2020, before recovering later in the session. I mean, a lot of things are down. Stock market's down. It's a lot of inflation panic. You came on the show yesterday. You were sitting in a different spot, but you were talking about inflation.
Yeah, that's been a hot topic.
You triggered all of this. You triggered it. You came over
meltdown.
Here. You flew in here from Calgary. You wore a T-shirt that said inflated.
I'm sending shockwaves.
And you sent a shockwave. And now the market, I don't even know if it's going to be able to recover. Thanks to you. Unbelievable.
You know what I was thinking? Like when we were reading it, like it hit me that like if you're not on the crypto, it's either you're in or you're out. And if you're out, it's a time like this when you're like, I told you so, you know, like your buddy Jeffrey, it's like, or whoever, whatever.
You do have a buddy named Jeff, don't
I do
you?
Have a buddy, too. But,
is he into crypto?
he may be. But no,
well, you don't have to call him out that
way. No, but the point being is that on the flip side, if you're the guy that's in it, and I do have some friends that are heavily, I wouldn't say heavily vested, but like they've been dabbling for a while. They're the ones when it's high and they're like, oh man, should have got in like 5-6 years ago, you know, and it's a constant, like it's the, I don't know, the beam, you know, the science grade 9, what's the beam? And you got, it's going down, it's going up.
Balance beam? I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah. I'm just saying, you got one or the other. There's no middle. It's like, if you're that guy, you're that guy. If you're the other guy, you're the other guy. Maybe there's a little middle, but either you're kind of in or you're out, and you're skeptical if you're out, and you're very like into it if you're in it.
There's something about the human psychology and kind of maybe it's somehow related to the armchair quarterback thing. It's like we were watching the game last night and why didn't he just do that?
Oh yeah.
Why? What if only he just cut back the other? And it's like, yeah, from all the way out there.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But it's like a totally different thing when you're in the mix making the real-time decision. It's a lot like that where all of a sudden things become clear to you because time has passed or because all the details have unveiled themselves and then you want to take credit for it or you want to take blame for it. But the truth is that in the moment, these things are very difficult to predict like accurately process, calculate, all the time.
Yeah.
Right? It's, yeah.
What's the hindsight 2020? That's
yeah, I think the hindsight might be 2020.
It's, yeah.
Saying's been around for a little while.
It's a good saying.
Yeah. Objects in the rear view are closer than they seem.
Yeah. That's a fact.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Stablecoin Terra USD has been hit by the turmoil. Well, Terra, that's okay. That's what this is all about. Never mind Tether. I think Tether's already recovered. Terra, on the other hand, not so much. They had a sort of a different approach to this idea of a stablecoin. Yeah, so it fell. This is supposed to be pinned to USD, but it fell as low as 31 cents. Thursday, it made it back to 47 stablecoins in general. A little description here. Digital tokens pegged to the value of traditional assets, such as the U.S. dollar, but Terra is algorithmic or decentralized stablecoin, was supposed to maintain its dollar peg via a complex mechanism which involves swapping it with another free-floating token. Well, what's that noise supposed to mean?
Complex mechanism?
Never invest in a complex mechanism.
Yeah, don't do that.
Unless it's an electric car or something like that.
Sure.
That's a complex mechanism you're allowed to invest in. No, I guess they were kind of pitching it as some freewheeling, high-tech, new version of a stablecoin. Yeah. I honestly didn't know anything about it until reading about it here after this collapse. There was some kind of incentive structure as well with the sister token where you would earn tremendous interest, 20%. Mm-hmm. Anyway, point being is a bunch of it appears to be triggered by billions of dollars worth being sold off and then obviously whatever else ensued. And then the market just in general being a little bit, as mentioned in the beginning of this article, the market being a little bit soft and people worrying about wider spread economic factors and trying to get out ahead of it. I think that pretty much encompasses it. I don't know as an audience how much you guys are into the crypto stuff, how much this affects you or not. But we were just talking earlier about the emotional impact of this, of I guess trading in general, which is maybe different than long-term investing. Of course, we talked in the past about Elon going on Twitter and saying, hey, just invest in the companies you like the products they're making. And the only way you sell is if they're no longer doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's that you can feel the calm that sets in as far as like investment strategy is concerned for your own psychology if you just follow that. Because that's easier to gauge than all of this complicated, all these complex mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I agree.
So I think for most people that might be the way to go. But by all means, do as you will, do as you must. And we're going to be here for the long haul. So whatever happens in crypto, mm-hmm. you're damn sure it's going to show up on this show. And we'll be here for the recovery, right, Will?
I hope so.
All of a sudden, we're not here. It's just empty chairs. It's just empty chairs. Yeah. Just NFTs. Mm. Apple has lost its position as most valuable firm amid tech sell-off. Sell-off. There's a place around here called Sell-Off Vacations. Have you ever heard that? Oh, Selloffvacations.com.
Nice jingle.
Nailed it.
Shout out, Jesse. He says ApeCoin went up 34% today. Lucky, I just bought a ton of it just a couple days ago. Not too late for you guys to get in. Yeah. Looks like it's
That's
time the community pump ApeCoin. Shockwave time. Yeah, no financial advice on this show. Jesse, we do absolutely appreciate your support, though, as usual. So, yeah, Apple affected. Tech affected. In general, Tesla affected. We were checking their stock earlier. It's all depends on your perspective. Either you think that things are stabilizing and getting where they should be, or you think it's an opportunity. You think, oh, this is great. Now it's time for me to buy more Apple, or now it's time for me to buy more Teslas, who I've been waiting for. Can you do like a 5-year on Apple there, Will? I mean, you can see it's still up there. On a 5-year, what about a 1-year? Apple, $142.56 at the time that we're shooting this. But anyway, I guess this was enough for their market value to go below whoever the next closest was. So who did they get passed by? Saudi Arabian oil and gas producer Aramco has reclaimed the top spot from the iPhone maker for the first time in almost 2 years. Investors have been selling shares in technology firms as they move into what they see as less risky assets. Bitcoin, other major cryptocurrencies, and digital assets have also continued to fall sharply. Shares in Apple fell by more than 5% in New York on Wednesday to end the trading day with a stock market valuation of $2.37 trillion. That meant it lost its position as the world's most valuable company in the world to oil and gas producer Aramco, which was valued at $2.42 trillion. I mean, it's still very close, and this fluctuates from day to day depending on these share prices. This is the first time that Aramco has held the top spot since 2020. Shares in energy producers have risen this year as the cost of crude oil and natural gas have gone up. Well, a lot of oil and gas talk sort of accelerated by what's going on over there in Ukraine. All of a sudden, many Western European nations sitting there saying, "What are we going to do without this energy, this Russian energy?" And I guess we just got people thinking about these resources again, and also trying to beat inflation, I suppose, something like that. Anyway, this is $44.70. Obviously, like I said, this can change from day to day. So Apple could be the number one company again tomorrow, considering how close this matchup. I'm sure this doesn't matter to them one bit, but it is interesting to us nonetheless. In January, Apple became the first company to hit a stock market valuation of $3 trillion for a moment. That's 3TN. They just write TN. It was one of the big winners of the pandemic as coronavirus lockdown saw spending on gadgets jump. That's true. When you're at home, gadgets.
We're just talking about that.
When you're going out, oil.
When you're going out,
am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Oil, gadgets. But that's going to move some money around the market in all types of ways, the fact that people are going to go back out. Crypto included. Crypto's not so useful out and about as it stands right now. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I was using crypto on my vacation to buy all my goods and services, then maybe that's a different story eventually. 5 Apple features Google just ripped off at I.O. 2022. Of course, Macworld would go with that headline. They got your attention. Well, good tech giants borrow, great tech giants steal. This is, of course, a famous quote also used by Steve Jobs at one point. I actually said this prior to reading this. I said this yesterday when I looked at how much hardware they talked about. I looked at the style of presentation. Crossed my mind as well that they were getting better at it. And I still think Apple is the best as far as these keynote presentations go. They've kind of perfected the experience of a keynote. At its annual I.O. conference Wednesday, Google unveiled a slew of new products, features, and services that will roll out over the following months. We got a peek at the new Pixel tablet, watch, and phone, a new budget Pixel 6a. We also got a peek at the Pixel 7, 7 Pro. They talked about Google Wallet, their tablet that they're going to do, plus tablet apps and multitasking. These are, of course, comparisons to things that Apple has highlighted at previous keynotes. Universal copy and paste. You'll soon be able to copy a URL or picture from your phone and paste it on your tablet. The system seen below seems a bit clunkier than Apple's utterly seamless universal copy and paste. But hey, it's a very snarky, anti-Google sentiment on Macworld. No surprise whatsoever. But I am, you know, it always used to kind of baffle me a little bit. I know there's a lot of engineers work on these things, and you would hope to kind of, I suppose, get credit where credit is due. But in technology, it's so hard for not to adopt superior methods and not to grow from the advancements of other companies and build on top. And so it was always hard for me to get behind these kind of wars of like one or the other, especially since I'm a guy who constantly has cross-platform devices.
Yeah.
In my daily experience, like I would do one thing on a MacBook and then another thing on an Android phone and then pick up an iPad over here and then use some other smart TV streaming device and then Android Auto. And like, it's like, what? And then all other Google products like Gmail and so forth and YouTube Premium subscriber. Like, it's not like that. It doesn't work that way in my mind, that it's an all or nothing type of thing. I see progress in one space. I'm like, okay, you should adopt this. This other company, however you can adopt this, adopt it. And I remember when they were having beefs over patents and software patent disputes, and you're patenting a certain sequence of a way you did something. You're like, can you really patent that? That seems like it's got to be there. Mm-hmm. That seems so utilitarian that it shouldn't be exclusive to one company or brand. So, and then, of course, the poaching of employees and programmers and so forth. They also talked about Pixel Buds Pro, which of course is a lot like AirPods Pro, including the terminology Pro. Google unveiled and teased a bunch of hardware announcements, yes, including the 6A, the Buds Pro. No one will confuse the Buds A series wireless earbuds with AirPods. The Pixel Buds Pro have a very similar feature set to AirPods Pro. You get noise canceling, transparency mode, spatial audio, and Find My Tracking, and an in-ear design that seems similar to the rumors of the AirPods Pro 2. Call them rivals if you must, but we'll just call them copycats. They're really trying to get you riled.
Yeah.
They really want me riled, but I'm not riled.
What's the guy that's writing this?
I can get riled if you want me to get riled.
Why does he say will call you? Is it him and his like whole?
It's Mac World. He speaks on behalf of the entire Mac world.
Oh, I see.
So, but it's
that's fun. I like.
No,
it.
No, he's having fun.
It's good.
I mean, let's listen. Yeah. Let's call it what it is. He's having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
And. There's definitely he's definitely not trying to rile me.
Yeah.
It's just a little banter in there. Yeah, that's what I would call it. And then last comparison they're making here, Digital Crown, and I guess they showed that off on the new watch, circular design, the new Pixel watch.
Yes.
They really didn't show us much on that watch, but it was. It's funny, like we looked at it, and maybe it's the way they showed it in the video, but it seemed very sleek. But he says fairly sizable bezel, so I guess it's not that impressive to him. I'll reserve my judgment until I see it in person. There's not too many real world style images of it at the moment, but yeah, the crown does look familiar.
Yeah,
I mean it looks like a circular Apple Watch for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Twitter CEO pushes out top execs, freezes hiring. Parag asked me to leave after letting me know that he wants to take the team in a different direction. Does that mean he's hanging around in the Elon era?
Yeah.
Him and Elon, they sorted it out? Pals?
Mm-hmm.
Trump's coming back?
Yeah. I hope so.
Twitter is shaking up its top leadership. The first move came as consumer product leader Kayvon Beckpour announced on Twitter that the current CEO asked me to leave after letting me know that he wants to take the team in a different direction. Bruce Falk, the general manager of revenue and head of product for its business side, confirmed in a now deleted tweet that he was also fired by Agrawal. Ooh, cleaning house.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning house, new era, getting things ready for the renovation.
Different directions.
You got to demolish the old and bring in the new.
Dare I say shockwave?
It might be a meltdown inside.
Okay.
Well, you were talking last night. We were watching your hockey team last night.
Yeah.
And you said your guy came in and he brought his guys with him. Remember that?
Oh, the coach. Yeah. Yeah, Sutter. Yeah.
He said, look, he brought his guys with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way he knows how to get things done.
Yeah, because he's won with them before. So he wanted the guys he needed to build his team.
And they had to take somebody else's jobs, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Different direction.
Absolutely, they did.
Going in a different direction.
So there's going to be some type of renovation over at Twitter. We don't know exactly what it's going to be. Now, Jay Sullivan will take over as both the head of product and interim head of revenue. These moves are occurring at the same time Elon Musk moves forward with his $44 billion purchase of Twitter, although he hasn't taken ownership of the company yet. These things take time. Here is the memo that the CEO of Twitter wrote to his employees at the beginning of the pandemic. In 2020, the decision was made to invest aggressively to deliver big growth in audience and revenue. And as a company, we did not hit intermediate milestones that enabled confidence in these goals. Interesting. Maybe he's hanging around. He's talking like he's hanging around.
Yeah, he's got to be hanging around.
He's talking like he's hanging around, or he has a shot to hang around. And it's like, deal's not done yet, but... let's go get some things cleaned up and see if maybe what I'm stepping into here, maybe there's some parts worth salvaging. Maybe I don't need to bring that many people over. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some talent over here. I mean, I'm just speculating. Here we have some of the tweets. Interrupting my paternity leave to share some final Twitter-related news. I'm leaving the company after 7 years. This is Kayvon Beckpour. The truth is, this isn't how and when I imagined leaving Twitter, and this wasn't my decision. Paraj asked me to leave after letting me know that he wants to take the team in a different direction. I mean, I guess if you don't meet your goals, then that's the way it goes. Corporate America. Mm-hmm. You'll meet your goals, you go get some different goals somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, two Twitter leaders leaving in latest company shakeup. This is a replica of the last article, I guess?
Let me just check. Yeah,
it is. Looks like it. Tesla Model 3 becomes a 6-ton electric tank with giant chain tracks.
Look at this.
Shut up. Is that real? Will, don't goof with me like that. Don't goof around my emotions, all right?
Well, let's find out.
Don't treat me like a crypto investor on this day.
Maniacs, it says.
A bunch of maniacs decided to turn a Tesla Model 3 into a tank with some giant chain tracks, resulting in a 6-ton electric off-roading machine. At Electrek, we believe every ground transport vehicle is going to go battery electric over the next few decades, and that includes off-roading vehicles. Well, that's what Will's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about this one, but somebody sent me a tweet, actually. They said they found your spec. Bronco, did they tag you in that? I don't know. They took a picture of a Bronco and they said it matches your spec.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
Maybe they probably only tagged me, but it was pretty good looking Bronco.
I'm telling you.
I don't know. I was just, right? Your spec. Because you had the, what color was it? It was the gray color, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the gray color. Yeah, that's what he sent me.
Okay.
Wow. And it had the hard top and it had the wheels that you put on. It was looking like yours. Maybe it's on its way here. It's early delivery.
It's a lucky fellow.
Just saying. So some people can't wait for that to happen. We've seen Teslas with snow tracks, but these guys wanted to do the ultimate off-road Model 3. So how about we go with tank tracks on it instead? Let's catch a glimpse of this one.
Oh, there's a video. That's what I was hoping for.
This seems very real to me.
Oh, this is awesome.
That's fun.
Flames?
Whoa. Yeah.
That's a problem.
Not such an off-roader at the moment. Good Lord.
That's not even safe.
Yeah, I was going to say. A little dangerous, maybe? 3 hours. No, it got to be more than 3 hours for this deal. This is amazing. And so casual, but actually like well-produced too, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Casual, well-produced, quick. Shout out to this guy. What are they called? Auto Herd? Oh, the real life guys. Whoa. It says Auto Hero. I guess there's some partners involved in this thing.
That's cool.
That is cool.
It seemed almost too easy. They made it seem so easy to put together. Hey, it was like a Lego kit. They're like, yeah, of course we're putting tracks on
here. You can just buy these kits.
Yeah, of course we put tracks on here.
I got to see this thing in motion.
Oh. Look how high up he is at that point.
Oh, that's wicked.
Don't think it's going to fit into a parking spot. I don't think it's practical, Will. I don't think.
Well, I mean.
I don't think you'd be able to drive this one to the grocery store.
That's his car. He didn't know. And now he's getting the reveal?
I don't know.
He has to drive it on a daily.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know, man.
He noticed. Oh,
it's not his car. Okay.
Well, that's fun. They should do some rock climbing with it.
Or something, yeah.
So they're not able to take it out. Is it too risky?
Or I should say rock crawling.
Is it too climbing? Is it too risky to take it out off-road?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they put it to the test.
Hmm.
Or maybe they're just waiting for another video.
Yeah, it could be a part two. Maybe. Could be a part two.
I'll tune in. That's great if they want to leave it at the...
Could be a part two. So, my God, look at the height of it now. You got to climb up there. It's a monster. I mean, very, very cool project for sure.
Yeah.
These type of projects, like, you remember we talked about this in the past, there's certain projects that only exist because YouTube exists. Without YouTube, this doesn't happen.
Yeah, nobody, the zaniness.
Nobody's making it. Like, you have to have a revenue structure that lets you invest in something insane like that and reach an audience.
Maybe Discovery, because they do Mythbusters.
Oh, the Discovery Channel, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You think they could have done something this zany?
Maybe not this zany.
Yeah, maybe not. It's a little even above what they were doing back in the day, but yeah, congrats, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Android Auto is almost ready for split screen mode as streaming video apps come to automotive. Ooh. Streaming video when you're not driving or for the passenger? Curious about that. While most of the big announcements from Google I.O. 2022 came yesterday during the keynote or in session shortly after, day two has a couple of exciting product-specific reveals during a session dedicated to Android for cars. Several substantial changes were announced that will make the in-car experience more convenient and enjoyable. So they have a screen here, and they're kind of showing it morph to fit the different aspect ratios that you would have in a vehicle design. Mm-hmm. So you might have a square aspect ratio, you might have a small rectangular, long rectangular, but yet the interface looks good regardless, and you're able to utilize the extra real estate in order to have more things displayed at once. So you got your Google Maps, which is kind of dynamic. It can move to the top of the screen, the side of the screen, and then enable you to still have your messages as well as your media. And then a little bit of nav on the bottom to initiate your Google Assistant. A pretty clean look. I'm not going to complain about it. First spotted late last year, this mode puts the navigation, view, media player, and contextual overlay all in the same screen. The new layout adapts to any screen size and aspect ratio, reorienting its design to make the best use of space. I wonder the adoption of this. Like, wouldn't it be nice if you had some sort of ubiquitousness of interfaces across cars? You jump in a car, like you pick up a phone, it's like, oh, that's Android. Oh, that's iOS.
I always wondered with that.
You just get in a car and it's like, oh, this car runs Android, or this car runs iOS, or this car runs Tesla's interface or whatever. Like, if there was a handful that you needed to know. But the automakers, they're always so outdated.
Mm-hmm.
And then from vehicle to vehicle, they have different versions and generations. And you're always, every time you step in a car, you're kind of learning a new one.
Yeah. I mean, with EVs nowadays, like, there's different drive selectors. They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, very confusing.
Drive selectors? Oh, it's not even just EVs, man. The other day, Kirk was driving one of my cars, and he was just sitting there.
Like, what is this?
He was just supposed to follow
me. Where am I?
He was supposed to follow me, and he just wasn't moving. Hmm. And I was like almost out of the parking lot, and I'm like, okay, I better spin back and see what's going on. He couldn't find where the drive was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But that's, you're right.
I was driving the.
And the Tesla's the craziest. The Tesla, because it's on the screen, and those other backup area doesn't light up. So you never drove it before. You don't feel very confident when you hit the accelerator. I mean, if you're driving it, you don't really even notice you do it anymore. But you're swiping the screen to put it in reverse. Swipe down and swipe forward to put it into drive.
I would have never known that.
Well, eventually the idea was that the car would be smart enough to use its sensors and previous history to know that you want to reverse because you pulled into that parking spot.
But that's only Tesla.
Exactly. Again, right? Yeah. Across cars. It's terrifying. Anyway, here's the other part. Originally announced earlier this year with YouTube as the focus, more streaming apps now slated to join the list for Android Auto, including Tubi and Epix Now, giving drivers more way to stay entertained while charging their car or waiting to pick up food. Well, I guess that's one of the nice things. Entertainment in cars has gotten a lot better. The Tesla is at the top of that. Me and the kids just in the parking lot after the drive-through just got the movie on the big display. It's like your own movie theater in there. And I mean, this is going to require bigger displays in cars, but it's also going to require interfaces that have easy streaming to get the content you want on there, whether it be Netflix, YouTube, or otherwise.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Russia is resorting to putting computer chips from dishwashers and refrigerators in tanks due to U.S. sanctions, officials say. The chip shortage making its way, this is obviously even beyond any type of manufacturing shortage. This is sanctions that won't even allow the stuff to be sold there. U.S. says Russia's putting chips from home electronics in tanks due to the effect of sanctions. Russia's military relies heavily on technology made by the U.S. and allies who've banned exports. The U.S. Commerce Secretary said Wednesday that sanctions cripple Russia's ability to fix equipment. Russia's having to use computer chips intended for home appliances to repair its military hardware due to the impact of U.S. sanctions. We have reports from Ukrainians that when they find Russian military equipment on the ground, it's filled with semiconductors that they took out of dishwashers and refrigerators. I mean, I guess if it works, I don't know. Recycling, Ryan? Environmental friendliness?
I guess. I don't know. when you're running out of options, you're going to get desperate, I guess, right? So whatever works.
Yeah, that was kind of a joke, but that's definitely what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
Is out of necessity, a recycling. Raimondo told the committee that exports of U.S. technology to Russia have fallen by just under 70% as a result of sanctions. It's really interesting. It doesn't go to 100. It's like 70% of things are not going to be exported. 30%, those are okay still.
Yeah.
I wonder how they make those distinctions. Russia's military hardware has long relied on technology made by the U.S. or its allies, but U.S. tech companies are now forbidden from exporting their products to Russia. Our approach was to deny Russia technology that would cripple their ability to continue a military operation, and that is exactly what we are doing. So I guess these reports are what the U.S. would want to see. I guess it's implying that the sanctions are working, that they're going to have to resort to harvesting parts from other places.
Also very scary, knowing that you're going to war in Russia. If you're like a Russian soldier, you have to like drive a tank that has like a...
It's a dishwasher.
Fridge chipset.
Yeah. Well, now you'll never look at your refrigerator the same way.
Yeah.
It's basically a tank without a gun or tracks.
Right.
Or a motor.
Or green.
But it's got the chip.
It's got the chip.
Finland leaders announced decision to apply for NATO membership. We've been following this since the rumors, since it was nothing but rumors. And now it is real and it's a big deal. Finnish President Sauli Niinisto and Prime Minister Sanna Marin announced on Thursday their intention to submit an application to join the NATO military alliance without delay. Russia, which shares an 810-mile border with Finland, classified the country's decision as a threat. Sweden is expected to decide if it is also applying for membership in the coming days, which the rumor was that they were going to join along. They have obviously a relationship with Finland as well. A lot of people don't realize the scale of that shared border and proximity of Finland to Russia. When the war first broke out, there were actually reports of packed trains fleeing St. Petersburg into Finland, into Helsinki, as a means of getting out of Russia. But look at this. Yeah, I mean, we've got a big shared border up there in the north. So the Ukraine thing happens. Ukraine was saying NATO, NATO, NATO. Finland, who had been neutral historically forever, all of a sudden wants to expedite the NATO process because they're like, well, we share a border. I don't know. Are we a threat? When will we be deemed a threat? Is this a risk for us? So apparently the public liked the idea, according to some of the polls that were posted in some of these articles, and they were moving to expedite the process as quickly as possible. Now, from the NATO front, they didn't mind. NATO was like, you want in? You want into NATO right now? They're like, we'll have you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a big NATO conversation and proximity, right? NATO means the possibility of extending your defenses, essentially. And it was part of the whole beef over there in Ukraine. They're saying, you know, if you don't stay neutral, we're coming, because that brings NATO's border closer to our border.
Yeah.
And I guess Finland is possibly avoiding that same ultimatum by getting out ahead of it. And that's what I always wondered, is what if you just do it in advance? What if you just join NATO? Because now if Finland gets this document signed, then a bomb in Finland is a bomb on NATO.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly. So it's very, you know, it's a strange little jostling, and but it's war and it's geopolitical and all the rest of it. But it was just, it was nothing more than an idea. And then it was public opinion via polls. And now it's, I mean, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
These processes typically take a really long time. But in this case, I think it's going to be expedited from the Finnish perspective and also from NATO's perspective. And now you just sit around and wait to see what Russia does or says, but they've already called it a threat. So they're not going to be huge fans of such things.
Yeah.
Sony announces WH-1000 XM5 headphones with new design and even better noise canceling, available May 20th for $399. That is what you put right over here, Will. I kind of like this packaging. Seems futuristic with these curves. It kind of reminds me of those foam runners I have. Kind of.
Right.
See what I mean?
Yeah. No, I like the packaging too when I saw it.
They're supposed to be 100% recycled.
Yeah, I presume it's very environmentally friendly type of packaging. Here we have the black color. Actually, with this lineup, I kind of like this color a little bit more. It's not quite white. It's like a gray. And then some of the accents, I guess, are like gold. These are, I mean, these are the have been the biggest no-brainer in consumer electronics forever. Yeah. XM4, XM3, this is XM5, XM4, XM3. It's just a very high-performing wireless headphone with good battery life, good touch controls. A good price, relatively speaking. The ability to fold. I presume we're going to get a case in here like we did last time.
You can open it.
You have... no, because aren't I going to open it the right way on the right show? Isn't this just a preview?
All right. Fine.
You don't believe me?
I want to use
it. No, I love these headphones, man. Like, I got to make a video just out of respect.
Okay.
I've been a part of the story of these headphones, man. So... Yeah. You do have your choice of assistant, either Alexa or Google Assistant. It says 30 hours of battery life. It says industry-leading noise canceling. This is going to give you that experience of pass-through. When you're inside the application for these, you have so much control over how you want them to behave, how depending on the environment, how much pass-through. Now, you have a really big touch panel on the side. Even though I haven't opened mine yet, I've had to watch like a video. And anyway, so this giant touch panel on the side, you want to trigger pass-through audio to speak to someone to quickly disable your noise canceling. You just hover your hand over top the side of the ear cup. Very natural type of movement. Mm. But yes, industry-leading, very exciting. And I'll have an unboxing video coming up very shortly because I got to play with these. And
cool.
Will might kill me if I don't because he said he wants to try it too.
Yeah. Hurry up.
The fastest camera car in the world is an R3 $2 million Lamborghini Huracan that can film at over 290 kilometers an hour. Oh, a camera car. I get it. It's like, what's he talking about? So does it have the big, like the whole rig on the top as well? What? That doesn't even look real, man. Because the camera looks like one of those miniature cameras, except enormous in this case, obviously. Oh, my God.
That looks so cool.
That is cool.
It's like a full-out 360-degree camera, motorized, pan tilt. It looks so heavy. It's amazing the car can remain balanced and travel at those speeds. Look at this.
It's on a Lamborghini like that. You
well, it would have to be right if you're chasing around race cars.
Well, it could be a different race car.
Oh,
like it could be Ferrari. It could be.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But why were you so surprised?
That profile. It's so. I just the Lamborghini is so low. Like I don't know. I just figure there might be a better option out there. Maybe that is the best. Maybe that is what they were looking for.
Well, you need something with a high top speed. I mean, you just saw the Huracan with the camera equipment traveling up to 290. Kilometers an hour, right? Is that what it said?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Is that what it said, Will?
290.
Go back up. Let's just verify this. I want to make sure I got it right. Yeah, 290 kilometers an hour.
But any car's chasing can obviously do the same, speed. I mean, if it's following it, right?
So correct.
Anyway, it looks amazing though. So maybe they did a lot of research on what car he was going to be, because you're talking about spending $300,000-$400,000 on that vehicle, right? Anyway, it's
you want them to put it on a cheaper car?
No, I don't want them to do anything. I'm just saying they must have took some time to pick that car, not just based on speed.
I know why they picked it.
Why?
Because the car is called the Lamborghini Huracan. And then they can call this one the Lamborghini Huracam.
Oh, can't. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah. That's pretty good. Of course.
It's
pretty good.
It's in the description underneath the picture there.
The world's
most powerful. I don't. Guys, I don't know.
I think you. There's just, legitimacy there.
No,
I think
I'm just saying. I don't know, man.
It must be really fun to drive.
The Huracam is Active Films, a United States company, there who operate it. Work out of Sacramento, California, established in 2011. It lists itself as one of the leading car media outlets in the U.S. According to Transportation Insider, there are other vehicles fitted with cameras that operate via gyro-stabilized rig. However, the Italian supercar is the fastest of its kind in the world. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely into that. I mean, who knows? Maybe that vehicle has been used in some of your favorite sequences and you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Car chase scenes, right, and races and so forth. It would be a cool camera angle in F1, but there's no, you couldn't obviously do that.
Mm-hmm.
No,
obviously, maybe the safety car could we get the safety car view? I mean, it'd be so unnecessary.
Yeah,
because it's in the front. I guess it could be facing back. That's a lot of work for one camera angle. You got cameras everywhere. Anyways, you got cameras in the cockpit. So.
And they're decent quality nowadays.
Yeah, I know. You don't need such a big camera in a lot of cases, but this one, they want such beautiful stabilization with the... Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I know the safety car already has cameras. I'm just saying, like, have a rig to that extent.
Sure.
Lego Optimus Prime is a flawless retro toy mashup that actually transforms. Two of the greatest toy lines of all time combine forces to create a set that 80s kids are powerless to resist. Oh, well, I'm an 80s kid, so I'm powerless now. I gotta get it. I definitely was a big Transformers guy. Well, I don't know about big, but like, you know, when you're a kid, you're into something for a bit. Yeah. Into Transformers for a bit.
Were you into Lego?
I was into Lego for a bit.
For a bit.
Yeah, I mean, were you more than a bit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like...
I love Lego.
Like...
I still do.
A 5-year period, a 10-year period? What was your peak Lego? What age?
He's still going.
No, I know he's still going. I'm asking for his Lego peak.
Oh, okay.
I guess from 5 to maybe 12.
That's a big peak.
5's really... Yeah. I was going to say 7 peak. Would be more like...
Yeah.
You must have been like a phenom, a Lego
genius. I love building that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, this thing costs $170.
Well, I mean, I think that's reasonable.
Oh, yeah?
How cool that thing looks. I'd go get it for my kids to put together. I'm not a big
Lego guy. Well, you got to put it together and then it's going to do the transforming.
Yeah. It's like a bonus.
I wonder how many pieces it is. Oh, there you go. 1,508 piece. That's a pretty big set, man.
Take a while.
You're going to need some commitment level from those youngsters.
Yeah.
To not leave this one halfway done. Because we've all seen one of the halfway done setups.
Yeah, it's very sad.
It's no good.
Not this one.
We can't be walking past that.
No.
We're going to be very upset about it. But anyway, yeah, it looks like a lot of specialized pieces as well. Sort of one-off Lego pieces here in order to create the Optimus Prime profile. I'm surprised Lego never got into the Transformers up until now. Or maybe they did, but just maybe.
It was too complex.
I don't know, because they love the Star Wars. Oh, yeah. Lego and Star Wars are like two peas in a pod. They just love each other. But these collabs always pay off. People love this stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're fun.
Yeah. A Coca-Cola advertisement made by spreading grains for pigeons in St. Mark's Square, Venice, 1960.
That's a sick idea.
So a simple way to make a giant Coca-Cola sign, just attract the pigeons in the shape of the words Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Simple and effective in an era where maybe the digital means of doing something like this, there were no digital means of doing something like this. How about Venice? What a crazy place as well.
Yeah.
Just water city. Like sometimes it's underwater, other times less so. And some like there's been moments where this entire town square has been covered in water. Such a wild place, but historic. And if you were going to set up a bunch of pigeons somewhere, I mean, this is kind of a decent backdrop. I wonder if they had authorization to do this. Or if you just, do you even need authorization to do this to feed the pigeons at that scale? Like you're going to need a lot of grain or whatever you're feeding.
Yes.
To like in order to sustain them in that location so perfectly in order to spell out Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you're dumping wheelbarrows of grain.
You got to have barrels, don't you?
I imagine there'd be a lot of poop afterwards. Ooh, you know what I mean?
But aren't, clean that but up. How far would these pigeons travel for this event? Like, aren't
far
those
and wide.
They like, don't know what's happening.
But aren't these like I'm saying, aren't these pigeons nearby anyway? Aren't they pooping anyway?
Yeah, true.
Like
true.
This Great is Venice a feeding.
This is a pop. I mean, that's a popular spot,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
for tourists and stuff. Even in 1960, they're going to be feeding the pigeons. It's just that in this case, they're fed a little bit more and in an unusual shape. But I don't know. That being said, how far away could a pigeon catch wind of the Coca-Cola feeding and then adjust his plans for the day? You know, could he come from a few miles or kilometers and be like, oh, I heard that Coca-Cola is doing a commercial.
Yeah.
Doing a grain event.
Doing a grain event down there in St. Mark's Square.
It doesn't really look planned or staged because the people, like, you just see people randomly walking
Well, I don't,
around.
They didn't shut it down. They definitely did not shut down the no. square in order to do this. I don't even know if you could. So... Well,
now,
yeah,
nowadays people get fined.
Yeah, of course you get fined nowadays. You'd be litigated and everything else. 1960 was freewheeling.
Yeah.
This is cool.
That is
1960.
Cool.
1960. To like Coca-Cola? No problem. We love you.
And we had the coffee Coke yesterday.
It's a double Coke. It's a double Coca-Cola here on the show.
Yeah.
And they got the perspective right.
They
it's not misshapen
it.
Or anything.
No, yeah. Cool. Now, the photo, are they on a building, I guess?
They must be.
I mean, even start to think about executing the photo, like it's not even in color. Mm-hmm. You're executing the photo 1960. You have to have a tripod or like what's going on? It's all very interesting.
Very cool.
Okay, here's somebody says to me in the chat, Lou, you don't understand how many pigeons are there every day, millions.
Whoa. So
we have some Venice insight here. I think millions? It's like a very pigeon place because high density.
Yeah.
Lots of people eating snacks.
And lots to do.
Yeah.
They just love the tourist locations. The pigeons.
They do.
Yeah. So James Cromwell glued his hands to a Starbucks counter to protest vegan milk charges. Who is James Cromwell? Am I supposed to know? I don't know.
I have no idea.
He's an actor.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let me just...
See if we recognize some kind of movie he's in or something like that. Oh, yeah. He's Pig. That'll do, Pig. He's from Babe, the movie Babe. He's 82 years old. Whoa. Looking pretty good. Yeah, I saw Babe back in 1995. I was 10 years old.
Yeah, I remember it.
He's the old farmer, I guess.
Yeah, there he is.
You remember that?
No, I'm just saying I can see him on the title. I don't remember it though. I don't know if I watched that movie.
Wow, I feel like in that Babe movie, there's a moment where he's gonna slaughter one of the ants. Am I crazy?
He was the evil.
I don't know, man. I don't even want to speak out of line on Babe.
Okay.
I don't even want to speak out of line on it. But now he's gluing his hand at the Starbucks. I don't know why Starbucks is such a target for this.
Yeah.
Starbucks give you any milk you want in the world. But they're mad.
It's not like they're selling meat, really. I mean,
no. It's the milk one that they're mostly interested in at the moment. And the latest trend is the gluing of the hand.
Just glue your hand to something.
You're gluing the hand, and that's the part that I don't. I mean, it's up to you. You don't like you. You want the vegan milk, okay?
It's aggressive though. That sounds
but
risky.
The gluing of the hand. as opposed to, I guess you're trying to chain yourself. It's the modern chaining thing. But I want to know what type of glue you're using on the skin and the type of pressure you're putting on the employee there. I don't know. Can you stand there? Like, is the gluing critical? Because he's not the first to do it. It's a trend now going on.
So what happens if it's happened before? Do they just stay there until, I don't know, like medics come and find a way to separate it and they can't cuff them?
I would presume that's the case. Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's painful. I don't know what this glue substance is. What type? Are they just using regular? You need a pretty serious glue to be glued with your hand.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people say it's super glue.
That's what it said, super glue.
Yeah, so that's not... I don't know. You ever read the label on that? That's not recommended.
No. I think it would peel your skin off probably if there's enough on there.
So...
That's risky. I don't know why
that's the necessary part to make the statement. The incident happened Tuesday. Protest coordinated with People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA. Cromwell, a longtime supporter of the group, serves as honorary director. Oh, he's deep.
He's big, yeah.
Seen on video posted by the organization asking Starbucks to stop charging more for vegan milk. It's an interesting...
hold on a second.
Target here.
He's okay if they charge the same amount as whatever the other offering is. Only don't charge
free.
More.
He wants it for free because if you just get regular milk, it's free.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But if you get a coffee with milk, there's no charge.
Ah, I see.
It's part of the deal.
But if you like, I thought it was more about the animals, not about the money. But it sounds like it's about the idea that it costs more.
Well, because he's saying that people aren't taking it because of the cash. His point is that if it was the same price, a lot more people would opt for it.
Oh.
And therefore, Starbucks would be a smaller purchaser of cow milk.
That makes sense. Okay.
That's his point.
Okay.
But I would assume that Starbucks is just going to charge what they can for it and also whatever their costs associated. Now, maybe PETA is sitting there saying, we got sources for almond milks that'll... at a better deal or whatever, that you don't need to charge more. But I'm pretty sure it costs more. Am I crazy?
Yeah, of course it would.
I feel like even in the supermarket, it costs more. It does, right?
I don't actually know, but I'm making the assumption.
Starbucks currently charges 70 cents extra for dairy alternatives, including soy, coconut, almond, and oat milk. It's just amazing they carry all these milks. It's going to be 17 milks before you're done. Uh-huh. I want to know what you can't milk. They can milk all of it. They could have cashew milk. There's one other place they offer me the cashew milk. So you can milk it.
Why does he got to do milk it? The whole glue thing? Why doesn't he just open up his little shop next to it and start giving away all free milks. Vegan anything you want?
Because the super glue is way easier.
Oh, here. Now they made some headway. The chain recently dropped the surcharge at its United Kingdom stores. We'll see. Maybe the argument here, maybe there's another argument, which is that Starbucks is making so much cash, they don't need the 70 cents to cover there. Maybe they just, it's supply and demand. They just know they can...
they can charge that.
We got breaking news in the chat. Someone says that Mo was fired for playing FIFA on the job.
I think that's a double story.
I think Mo might be...
with the FIFA and the Xbox.
Yeah, I think Mo might be... Okay, here's the quote. My friends at PETA and I are calling on Starbucks to stop punishing kind and environmentally conscious customers for choosing plant milks, Cromwell said in a press release. We all have stake in the life and death matter of climate catastrophe, and Starbucks should do its part ending its vegan upcharge. I don't know. I don't know if... I guess Starbucks is probably a good target because they may actually do it. Right. This is probably in line with their clientele and they may actually do it.
It doesn't bother me that he's got a problem with it or the whole group in general, but it's just the action that you have to take and go to this length. I don't know. It's a little much. I guess it is working. I don't know, man.
For some reason, for me, when I see these type of situations, I'm like, okay, here's Starbucks, right? Starbucks selling coffee around the world. Imagine the complexity of that business. All the places in which you could point at and say you could do this better. Like buying beans, shipping them, where they're roasting them, who's suffering, are they getting paid a fair amount? whatever cups that you're encouraging me to take, what plastics you're using, straws, lids,
it's tough.
Milks, and which is the most environmentally friendly. And I don't even know. I remember reading something about almond milk and how there are consequences, water consumption usage when you have droughts in the places that almond milk is create. And it's just like, oh, it's endless.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it gets endless. Or the bees getting transported in from their natural habitat, then all of a sudden catastrophe, all these bees dying because they need to be used in the process of making almond milk. And I'm just like, I mean, I got all these milks in my fridge. I opened my fridge, I got all these milks. No, I'm telling you, like, it's not, some of these are delicious milks.
They are, yeah. I drink oat milk all the time.
But part of me wonders if the whole world, like, switched overnight, and I'm sure someone's done this math, which is the most optimal milk? That's what I want to know from an energy consumption perspective. Because even these oats, you're milking oats, I don't know, they got to soak in water for a long time. You need a lot of water.
Yeah.
And then the water guys are going to be upset.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
What else do you have to do? Do they soak in water at room temperature? Is there heating involved? The almonds, yeah, we obviously know what's involved. Well, the oats, you got to grow them first. You got to water the oats to grow them. I mean, you could eat the oats as well. But what happens to the leftover oats? They go to dog food?
There's got to be.
Because that oat is not turning 100% into milk, right? If you ever try to milk an oat,
try to
no
an oat
did you ever
like
try
it to, has an udder
I'm saying man, if you soak an oat, the oat is left over a lot of the material.
Like, there's always going to be a byproduct of something that you're doing.
I like that byproduct. Yeah. What are the byproducts and how efficiently can we use those? But it's beyond the scope of anything that any one individual can really tackle, especially once you add in the company trying to be successful, make money, and have a sustainable business model all alongside the customer demands and so forth.
It's very complicated.
It's like when Apple tells me that I can save the world by buying a new laptop. That
it's like, oh, really?
It's environmentally carbon neutral, and I feel really good about that. I'm like, okay, let me buy the laptop. But then I'm like, do I need a new laptop? Because there's a lot of materials and things that went into that had to be extracted from the earth.
Yeah.
But that somehow you're removing my guilt, which is now enabling me or encouraging me to buy a new thing that I might not have needed in the first place.
And then the other one just goes
wasting more product.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely at least a conversation around it, that you're in the business of selling me things on a yearly basis to pad your bottom line that in many cases probably don't have to be replaced on a yearly basis.
I've been using Mo was asking me earlier today how old my MacBook Air was, and it was 2016. It's fine. It's not like getting to the point where it's unusable or there's not enough storage or something, so I have nothing to complain about, but yeah, it's like, 8 years? I never changed my laptop once.
And you're living life.
I'm doing just fine.
I know, but you don't fit into the keynote. I mean, the keynote treats you like you're getting a new one every year.
Well, I'm just not that customer.
No, I know, but I'm saying the way that if you were hanging out around here and you saw the keynote,
yeah,
and you sit there and you watch the whole sales pitch, it's almost like matter of fact that this new one is so much better. Right. They don't come out with the keynote and go, yours is fine.
Made some minor improvements.
Yours is fine. Like, car companies don't do it. Like, the whole premise this thing continuously moving.
We got to make money, right? You got to make a couple $1 trillion.
In a direction is required based on that. And then all the people who work for those companies need those things to happen as well to have that cycle. So it just gets so big picture so fast for me that I just can't even yell at them about their milks.
And the dairy industry is so huge. They have an infrastructure already.
Oh, that you would have to rebuild.
Oh, yeah, like logistics rebuild.
I guess what they do in their case is they just focus in on the cow, and they say, and they go, and they envision the singular cow, and they go, you know, if 12 people switch to almond milk, or whichever one he's promoting, which I don't know which one it is, but any of the other ones, this cow isn't here. I mean, I think they try to make it as actionable as possible, as simple as possible for the purpose of that particular organization.
Will makes a good point on the fact that the infrastructure, like any big business has been built out. So like they have machinery that probably pumps, I don't know, many of cows' milks at once, or like, do you know what I mean? Like it's scaled.
Like the efficiencies.
Definitely
the efficiencies.
Those.
And so then all
they
of a sudden.
They definitely got those. But
it's every action is
but
a
then
reaction.
They're talking about methane and the waste that all those
of course,
produce.
Yeah.
And then you got to run numbers against all the oats that Will wants to milk.
And then you end up having the actor super glue his hand on the
look
counter.
At all
there.
The, yeah, look at all.
Well, yeah,
that's where it ends up here.
That's where we're at. That's the and that's the conclusion. That's the the end of the calculation. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, we could talk about that forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, now we get to the fun stuff.
Yeah, let's get to the
Let's get to the fun stuff because I got oats to milk. Oh, baby. Snake climbing palm tree is the title of this particular video clip. I mean, I didn't even know they did this. I mean, I should have known they did this because how do you think they get up there?
But I didn't expect that.
No, to look like that?
No, yeah. I mean, it looks so clean and satisfying.
Whoa.
Wow.
Cool.
Now,
it's a rhythm.
Here's the thing. This is to catch birds, I guess, and nests and stuff because that's what they would want to eat, right?
Sure, yes.
Wow, this is very effective. It would take you a while, though.
You don't know if he's a vegetarian. Maybe he's going for the coconut.
Oh. Can't you see his tiny PETA t-shirt?
Yeah.
He's actually glued himself to the tree.
No, that's neat.
It's one of those weird ones where it seems so obvious when you see it, but yet somehow you lived this many years of your life and you've never seen a snake climb a tree.
No.
Like, I don't know. I wonder what percentage of people are sitting here watching this show and they're like, oh, yeah, I've seen this happen before.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's good.
Versus are like us, because here we were 3 for 3. All three of us are like, damn, never saw a snake climb a palm tree.
No.
But I think it's all the right scenarios, too. It can't be like a huge... like snake.
Mm.
Can't be like a super thick tree.
This one's pretty.
I was gonna say that thing looks like
well, it can't
anaconda.
Be a small snake.
I don't think you want to mess with this guy.
No, definitely not.
But he's fast at first. I wonder if he gets tired because at one point
he is
everything
moving.
For them is so circular. The movements and such, man. That is such an unusual creature, the snake, isn't it?
And how did this particular snake know how to climb a tree?
Somebody in the chat says this is actually the only snake capable of doing that.
So
it's a certain type of snake that has mastered this process, but definitely snakes get into trees and so they maybe aren't quite as elegant. But
I wish I could find more information about this, but all I get is funny comments.
No, not on Reddit. No, it would definitely be to try to get eggs, find a bird's nest.
Yeah,
for sure. There's no other motivation. It's definitely not running away from anything. I can't imagine, it's a big enough snake that I do wonder what the predators would be. Palm trees, would you have eagles there? What would be the predator for such a thing? I don't know. Some sort of mongoose or something?
Yeah, probably.
I didn't expect to say mongoose today.
Well,
I just never crossed my mind either.
Makes sense.
Snake brought it out of me. These guys proving the engineering feat that Vans shoes are by scientifically testing are by scientifically. Oh, I see. They're saying that Vans shoes are an engineering feat. So they tested them scientifically
to
see
always
if they land always
right
land
side
right
up.
Side up. Got it.
Have you ever tried this? Apparently,
never.
It's a conspiracy.
I've never tried this, but certainly the soles are heavy on them compared to the upper. The soles are way heavier.
Get out of here.
So the video shows a guy throwing a couple Vans, and they all land upside or right side up.
Right side up on the sole.
Even if they like launch it into a hallway.
It's very interesting. I don't know. It always?
Whoa.
Remember we were talking about this the other day?
You got
I'm
Ryan's
skeptical.
Attention.
I'm skeptical on this one.
Do you have
any
Vans?
Not the traditional. I have a different.
I don't own Vans either, so I can't test this either.
No, I can't.
But now I have to order a pair just to test this.
You have to. I have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why this would be such an important thing to engineer. I guess you can just throw them to the front door and they're always...
Maybe.
I wouldn't... I probably don't know what the
advantage of that.
But, yeah, we should go test them.
Like I said, it could be a weight thing. Maybe if he threw it from a lower height, right? Lower height, they didn't have enough energy to flip back over. I don't know,
but
man.
But never? Is that? I mean, we saw a few videos.
They're definitely weighted on the bottom.
I would find it pretty useful when you're taking off your shoes with your feet and they're always right side up. That's kind of useful.
Wait a second. Here's another reason, which somebody just reminded me. They're for skating, right? For skateboarding.
Yeah.
So if they always land right side up, your ankle might be happy about that.
Oh, so it's helping you.
Well, it's just like the tendency for them is to land flat as opposed to on their side. And if you do land on the side, then it wants to go flat.
Right.
The shoe. I don't know. I'm sure plenty of people have completely had their ankles explode while wearing Vans.
Yeah.
We're going to have to obviously test this. I don't know what people think. Let me know if you think it's fake or real. What do people in the thread here think it's fake or real? Did anyone say?
I wish I just had a van on. I could just throw it right now and just see.
All right. No, nobody knows for certain. Somebody got tested out. Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. These videos are clearly fake. The shots are reversed. If you watch it playing forward, the shoes are already sole side down on the floor. Then they jump into the air, and the guy catches them.
See, they're always funny comments.
There is no magic here, just tricky editing. Yeah. So the shoes are jumping on their own, and it's not magic.
Exactly.
Deep fakes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure everyone, a lot of people have Vans, right? You can just test it out and see.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping. Someone run for the fans right now and let me know in the comments.
The one that caught me is coming up when he throws it on, like, the shelf and it lands flat. It does not look right.
There's somebody in the chat says, I'm doing it right now at my Vans and it works perfect every time.
Oh, wow.
Someone says the Vans are a paid actor.
All of them?
Every single one.
All right, we can't speculate. We'll just get our own, but I believe the guy.
We'll get to the bottom of it. I don't know. This is we got to figure out this conspiracy for sure.
Yeah.
Get to the bottom of it. Yeah, we got another person confirming. Jeez. Farmer who flipped car off his land found not guilty of criminal damage.
This was kind of funny. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. So this is somebody. Wow.
One of the car's passengers tries to stop him. But Mr. Hooper had enough, forcing the car off his drive. Left there as the owner and his friends drank in the sun. The jury today decided this was reasonable force used to defend his property after hearing that moments before this footage, he was punched when he asked the driver to move it himself.
Oh.
Farmers, man.
The fourth generation farmer and his wife left court, a moment of relief. Mr. Hooper was found not guilty of dangerous driving or causing criminal damage. Instead, his friends say he dealt with a growing issue of people mistreating the countryside.
It gives people a picture that, you know, what life can be like when, you know, you live in quite a remote place. And please come and enjoy it. We want you to enjoy it, but with a bit of respect.
It just shows that these people can't just come and cause trouble in the area and get away with it. And
so what happens if we don't get some result like this, we could expect a lot more of such like to happen.
Something, though, this farmer hopes will never happen again. A chance now to go back home, comforted by the support of his friends and family.
Thank you very much, everybody. We're absolutely
wow. It is kind of surprising that he... Well, first of all, obviously he went to this extent.
What a dramatic video.
Yeah, definitely. First of all,
flipping the car with the bulldozer.
Definitely that he went to the extent to just lift the car and flip it straight out, but also that the people refused to move it. Like, it's his land.
Did he give him the final warning when, like, he's rolling up?
He got punched in the face.
No, I mean, like.
Well, allegedly.
That was before he got the tractor, I think, though.
Yeah.
I think he asked him.
Yeah.
But when the guys are sitting there in the car and he's kind of going slow and they see him coming, it's kind of like a warning, like, hey, maybe we should get going now. And then he starts hitting
the
car.
It's like any fight, it always turns into, you won't do it.
Yeah.
You won't do it.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, yeah, I will. and then he's just lifting it up. But what's also interesting is how his little unit there, he got like the forklift. I guess he uses it for moving hay or whatever.
Sure.
But what's cool about it is it's also so tough and rugged. The guy's trying to kick it and open it, and it's not budging one bit.
No. Uh-huh.
His unit.
That thing is like a tank.
And he also, the guy got clipped a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like that would hurt.
And then if you notice in the second clip, the car is upright. So he actually put it on its tires. Because when he first flips it, it lands on its back, right? Let's see here. Let's get to the bottom of this. Okay, he lifts it like this from the rear end, up over the fence, I guess, and then it lands on its side.
It's like the Vans.
It's staying on its side, and then he pushes, and then you get a cut. But it's definitely on its side. So he takes the time to get it upright.
And then he hits the guy.
Like, as if the guy...
is it upright?
Yeah.
Or it's upside down.
It's
still upside down.
Okay, he's got to figure it out.
Never mind. He's not trying to... It looks like it's perfectly parked on the road, but it's just upside down. Oh, man. But yeah.
He just drives off.
He was pissed off, that's for sure.
And... No, I was confused. I thought they were in the car... They were drinking. The car was parked there.
That's right.
And then that's why. Okay, I get
it. That's right. He told him to get out of there. It's his land.
And then he punched him.
Drink on there. And then he retaliated, allegedly. And then, obviously, due to video evidence here, we know what the consequences were.
Yeah.
Mm. Crazy. Turtles. You here? We have another turtle. This is Will's trend. He's on a turtle trend.
I like it.
Turtle updates. Turtles sunning on an unstable log in the river.
This is great teamwork.
Wow, that doesn't seem very relaxing though, that they have to keep they're all going down.
That was just
fun. Are they all going down?
Well, they come back though.
Shout out Daniel, thank you for the super chat, have fun in Vegas. They go down, they go up, they get some sun, then they get dunked, and I guess that they like a little bit of both. Sometimes you get warm, and then you cool down.
Climb back up.
Yeah, it's a little balance to it, but they certainly find a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
They find a rhythm to rock back and forth.
That's cool.
But you would want the log to be still, because you're sunbathing.
But it can't happen, because there's all these new guys want to get on there.
Yeah.
They're like, that looks pretty good. So they start to climb up, which pulls pulls the log down and gets it rocking again.
It's like last guy to stay on the log wins and the guy.
No, I mean some guys have great position. I mean, if you watch closely, some guys, they're never in doubt. The big guy, he's doomed from the get-go.
And he's sideways. He's
as big as the whole log, so like something's dipping. He's not getting completely dry no matter what.
He's the problem. He's tilting the log.
He's definitely a problem, no doubt. And his whole butt gets dunked every swing, and then he's like, at some point I think he gives up, because I don't know if he lost grip. I think he's just like, enough of that. He swims away. Enough of that.
That's classic. Yeah,
enough of that sun tanning.
Yeah. Well...
Will, I got the snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Real
quick. You got the snacks.
Yeah, just what are we doing? Hold on. What are we doing? A snack taste test?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you can. Absolutely. No one's going to turn down snacks around here. Are you crazy? Yeah. We'll take snacks. Willie Doo almost forgot. Must have forgot. Ryan's the snack.
What's that?
Man.
Which camera? It's the wide right now. The wide, this one.
It can just see everything. A little snack taste test to finish up the show.
You can just sit down.
You have to say it into the mic. You got to say it in the mic.
No one can hear you.
We can't hear you, man.
You got this, Ryan.
All right, well, I think you got to cut the music for this, because this is going to be a clip here.
Yeah, don't go anywhere, everybody.
This is going to be a clip here.
Okay, so.
All right, what do we have here today,
Ryan? I was at this grocery store. I had to get some water and some stuff this morning. And I bought some other chips, too, but I was walking down the aisle, and then I saw this, and it caught my eye, because the word magic was in there, first of all. But these are called Magic Masala. I don't know what masala is. I'll check it out after. Maybe we'll check it out. But it's just from India.
Indian.
And I'm assuming it's spicy. I like spicy stuff.
Let's see. Maybe not. What do we got here? Garam masala from Persian and Arabic. It's a blend of ground spices originated from India. Okay, yes. It is common in Indian, Pakistani, Nepalese, Bangladeshi, Sri Lankan, and Caribbean cuisines.
That's nice.
It is used alone or with other seasonings.
That's nice.
What? Ooh, how it's would got a you? Kick. What? Go ahead and describe. To
oh,
us
it gets spicier after.
What's going on here?
I get like a sweetness of almost like a butter chicken at first, and then it gets real spicy, like hot spice. It's good. Okay. I like spicy chips. Okay. And this one, I've never bought these.
Well,
in my
I think you
life.
Have to give us a rating or something.
Oh, on the chips. Doing, yeah. Well, the problem is, I like a lot of chips. Like well, I just like chips
just
in general.
Out of one, you know, 1 to 10.
I'm gonna give these an 8.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good spice.
8's pretty good.
It's tasty.
Yeah. Some people might go for it. They might reach for it if they know you gave it an 8.
Give it a try. Yeah, if you like spicy food. Twinkies. Okay. These have been around for like so long. And you see them every time you're at the 7-Eleven.
Right,
the
right. Yeah. Store.
I never reach for them. Like, I'm just not that guy. I don't eat a lot of sweets. Like, I don't get right. chocolate bar. I'm more of a chip guy, you see?
Okay.
But Twinkies, like
I've never seen them at the store before.
And I bought them, well, two reasons. One, I think they're hilarious.
And I live here.
No, I mean, they're definitely at the store. I see them all the time, Will.
I don't see
You're
them.
Not looking for
but
it.
But have you ever had one, Will?
I've had one.
Okay, yeah. You've had a Twinkie. You've obviously had a Twinkie.
I think so.
Okay.
You don't seem impressed, man.
Have I? I don't know. Like,
do you like
them? You guys are making me question my entire life right now. I feel like those were at school. Like, everybody had those, right?
Twinkies.
Yeah. At one point in time. Here.
Oh no.
There was one guy, I think, that tried to live off Twinkies for an entire year or something and died.
Whoa.
What? Really?
Is that a story? Did I make that up?
You would die.
It was something like that.
There's nothing.
He
no
might
nutrition.
Not have died. He might not have died. Somebody tried to live off Twinkies for a year exclusively.
Sure.
I believe I remember that story. So what? It's like a cake with
let's try it out.
With some type of icing inside of it.
Mm-hmm. It's like Coca-Cola. These things have been around since I was a kid, and it's always the same. It's never changed. There's no, right. I don't think there's any iterations, just Twinkie.
It's a sweet cake with like an cream filling.
Yeah, nothing it's special. Good. It's not.
So simple, but so delicious.
That was a fun one. And of course, our local favorites, Tim Hortons. They do it all. They do cereal now. Like, have you seen the Timbits birthday cake cereal?
Mm-hmm. Seen it. I haven't bought it.
It's not bad. Just try it out. I caught these ones. I was looking for granola bars. Tim Hortons. They got the caramel granola bars. I haven't tried one yet. I'm going to give one a taste. Let's try one out right now.
Why would Tim Hortons have a granola bar?
I have no idea. But why wouldn't they sell them at their restaurant? And they should start selling cereal, too.
What are you going to do? Get a bowl of cereal at the coffee shop?
I guess. You got kids. You want to go have a coffee. Maybe they have a bowl of cereal. You grab your double-double.
Don't mind that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I can't anticipate this is going to be really good, but let's just try a bite. Salted caramel. It's pretty good. Not good for you. Neither is that, but it was pretty good.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't your agenda with these three snacks.
No, I wanted to bring some fun on the show in terms of food when I was walking through the aisles at the grocery store.
You know what? The thing I just realized about the Twinkie is like, I feel like a key part of it is the size of it.
Yeah.
It's not that big. It's
just like a little snack.
It's like very light.
Yeah, it's like a small treat. Enough little thing that it's not a huge commitment.
And they've never changed the size either, I don't think.
I don't know.
It's always been the same. It's so consistent that, you know, they'll change different flavors or they'll do mega size them like you know. And no, this is just the Twinkie. Anyway, that's it. I'm not going to take any more of you guys' time.
Okay, so it's an 8 out of 10 on the chips.
8 out of 10, and this is just fun. I would never even buy these again.
What out of 10? What is it?
I want to say it's like a 9. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Look, you're not going and getting the fancy dessert. It's obviously something you're picking up at the at the Sev, but it's pretty good.
Here we got our last super chat of the day, thanks to Jay. He says, Bronco fact, Willie. There's a Bronco Pope mobile, old and new. CNN Ultra now has a taste segment. So glad I canceled Netflix for the community. Shout out to the community. Yes, this is definitely a notch above Netflix. We like to call it CNN Ultra, as you know, which is the evolution because we used to be CNN Plus. Thank you to Ryan for gracing us with his presence for the last few days. He'll be heading back to the other side of the country tomorrow. So everybody say bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Will.
I don't know. Give him a thumbs up or something.
Yeah. So you don't have to.
He feels warm and fuzzy inside and like he's been welcomed by the community.
I'll be in the chat next week, sitting at home.
We'll see him again someday.
That's right.
Who knows what he'll bring. Today it was Twinkies. Next time, it'll be a shockwave.
I bring the heat.
Or just, yeah, maybe a meltdown. Thanks everybody for joining. Thanks for all the super chats. Will and myself will see you tomorrow, probably with Mo.
Sure.
I'm guessing. All right. Later, everybody.